The Image of the Invisible, Chapter 8, from the book A Sound Mind by L.G. Sargent. When Paul speaks of Christ as the image of the invisible God, he uses the ordinary word for a representation of a person or object, but uses it to convey a quite extraordinary idea. It could mean the effigy on a coin, the idols in the form of man, birds, or beasts, or the statue of the beast in Revelation. All these had common qualities. They were in the form of the object for which they stood, and they were substantial, and they could be seen when the person or thing represented was absent. Well, from one point of view, they were merely like the object. They were semblances or representations. Looked at in another way, they were substantial as contrasted with mere shadows. In this way, it came about that Hebrews 10 verse 1 could use the phrase "the very image" to mean the substance contrasted with the shadow, the reality contrasted with the type. Image, therefore, on one side of its meaning, it came to stand for something real. With something of this idea of true and substantial representation, Paul could speak of a man as the image and glory of God. Now, the allusion is obviously to the creation, in which God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. That the work of creation was accomplished through the angels is of secondary importance. It was all of God. And there was a sense in which in man, God was reproducing himself as truly as a man reproduces himself in his progeny. Whatever the mode of creation, there was a profound sense in which Adam was of God as truly as Seth was of Adam. Without developed character, the image was incomplete, and by disobedience, it was defaced. There was therefore a need for a new and spiritual creation by which a new man should be renewed after the image of him that created him. And such a transformation could only be effected by a revelation of God's glory among men, so that beholding it, they might be changed into the same image from glory to glory. A transforming light must shine into men from outside, and that must be the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here was a new creation indeed, in which the fiat went forth commanding the light to shine out of darkness, but it came not as a general radiance, but light embodied in one who was the very representation of God to men. And the effulgent divine glory was not suffused at large, but focused in one who became himself a light-giving body, one who had to bear in himself the very calligraphy of God, who had to be God's essence, written in terms of living flesh, so that men could know and read. This then was the image of the invisible God. God must be invisible to mortal men by the very nature of his glory and holiness. He can only be known insofar as he makes himself manifest. Here, then, is his image. True as a representation, real and substantial as God, manifest in flesh, and glorious as the revelation of God's own nature. The connection of the word image with the creation story carries the thought a step further. Not only is Christ the image of God, but he is also the firstborn of all creation. First in preeminence, as Adam was first in having dominion over all creatures, and as all was designed for Adam's dominion, so all was created in, through, and for Christ. He was the ground and the end of it all. God, if the expression may be allowed with the fullest reverence, God reproduced himself in Christ. And that is why Christ is his image, his firstborn, his character, his effulgence. How immeasurably lofty and exalted our thoughts of Christ should be, and how ready we should be to acknowledge his exaltation in our worship. Yet when God was in Christ, he was in a man. And the risen Christ today is man glorified. Never must his manhood be lost in the contemplation of his glory, or his glory dimmed in the recognition of his humanity. For Christ came in the flesh. The very words express the twofold truth. In him, divine origin and human life are perfectly united.